I think a lot of us are, you know, whether we're 5 years old on a playground or adults, we're waiting to be invited into something. And so I see that in people. I see it in myself. Like, I think all of us want to feel part of something bigger. We can do a lot for ourselves, but imagine the power if we all invited someone else to do it with us.
Welcome to the We Collide podcast. We're a growing community of everyday chicks colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
Welcome to the We Collide podcast. I'm Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide, and I'm so glad that you've hopped on today to spend time with us. Today, I get to interview an amazing woman in my orbit named Elizabeth Boyle, and Elizabeth is one of those women you meet and you're immediately impressed by because it's obvious that she could run the world, and we clearly need more people like her to do that. Elizabeth has owned several businesses and supports our local school foundation through fundraising and storytelling. She has an uber-talented husband and two wonderful teenage boys. And I've observed her intentionality as she's hosted various groups from a year of wellness group to a group for business women. And her husband have also facilitated groups around teaching other families new skills. And they've hosted what they call monthly potlucks with a purpose, where they gathered people around food and a commonly centered topic. Elizabeth is amazing at locating people's gifts and connecting them to the community's needs. And I just love that about you, Elizabeth. You're passionate about people and ideas, and you love the power of community and witnessing changes that are possible when we come together and make amazing things happen. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Wow, thank you. That was a beautiful introduction. What you just said just makes me, it's exactly what I want everyone to see about themselves, is what other people see in them. And we can shine the light on all the beauty in each of us. Gift, such a gift. So thank you.
That was, well, I'm glad you're
here. My gift for the day. Thanks.
I'm glad I get to spend an hour with you. I've seen you spend a great deal of time helping women set goals and be intentional with their lives. Can you tell me where that passion comes from?
I'm glad that you specifically said women, because I have just a really big heart for women. I think that men are lovely and all that jazz, but women, wow, what an amazing group. You know, there's so much that a woman, you know, generally speaking, is the head of their household, often has, you know, volunteer commitments and may work outside the home. There's just so much on a woman, and she has so many gifts. I'm a big believer that every person was gifted with something beautiful about them. And how do we, like, ignite women to live into their best lives? And so I think that's something I wanted for myself too. So when, you know, I love doing things in collaboration with other women. I think mm-hmm. we're stronger together. And so I always am looking for opportunities like, oh, wow, we could do this as a group. And so mm-hmm. like you mentioned, the year of wellness, that was one of my favorite projects, you know, to spend a year, and every month we focused on a different topic, like a different tool in our tool belt is what I like to say. And to invite women to come together to make better lives for all of us together is just a dream of mine. So anything I can do that, I guess that's the passion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you did the Year of Wellness group, what would you say, looking back, happened for women by them gathering together and seeking wellness all together and gaining those tools in their tool belt? What happened?
I'd say maybe two things. One, you know, specific tools were reached, right? Like, so mm-hmm. we learned about physical health or mental health, spiritual health, financial tools. All those were wonderful tools. But in addition, I think that women saw that other women were also needing these tools, that it wasn't just about, like, I'm alone. Because I think sometimes we wonder, am I the only one that doesn't know how to do this? Or I'm the only one that's struggling with this? Mm-hmm. But to watch people's hands pop up and for them to share stories about things that they're struggling with, or to witness conversations after the meeting and this intimacy that people were experiencing, it just warmed my heart. And, I've heard from people, like, that year was really powerful for them. And it gave them, I think community is one of the best gifts we can give to ourselves and to each other. Mm-hmm. And so I think that was the biggest takeaway from that year.
Hmm. Where did you get this passion? I mean, does this go back to you as a kid where you want to gather people and have this sort of common bonding and growth experience? Because not everyone has that. And I think that's so cool that you're a natural gatherer. Like, hey, let's gather together and learn and grow. And
yeah, that's interesting because it's, I think it's, I love what we can make happen as a group. So it wouldn't naturally be like, I maybe not as fun of a person. Like I wouldn't gather everyone to like have a movie. Actually, that's not true. I like Hallmark movie nights, but you know, the Christmas Hallmarks anyway. But I think I love, activating people. It activates me. It does something for my soul. And so to watch people come together and bring their energy and their heart, I think a lot of us are, you know, whether we're 5 years old on a playground or adults, we're waiting to be invited into something. And so I see that in people. I see it in myself. Like I think all of us want to feel part of something bigger. And so I think that's just something I just always want to make happen for myself and for everyone around me, that I love the power and the energy that is created when people are gathered together for making something good happen.
Hmm. I can see that you feel emotional about this, and I love what you said. We're all waiting to be invited into something bigger. I think that's so true. I think I see that all the time in Collide, where women are just waiting to be invited into something that means something.
You've done that. Like with Collide, you keep inviting people in, and like they're all part of something. They feel like I am a part of this bigger movement. Like we can, you know, there's a saying like, you can do things alone and go faster, but you know, but in community, it's bigger, it's longer lasting. Like there's so many things that we can do a lot for ourselves, but imagine the power if we all invited someone else to do it with us. It's, it's a beautiful, and that's what you've done.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Well, let me ask you this, because a lot of people are waiting to be invited into something, but you're spending your life inviting people into something. So you're kind of on the other end. There's women who are waiting, and there's women like you who are actually doing the inviting. Were you at one point a woman who was waiting and someone did the inviting and that changed your life? Or have you just always been this woman who has been the person inviting people into something?
That's a great question. It's maybe a little bit of both. And I'd still say today it's a little bit of both. Like, like someone asked me to join a new breakfast group and I was like, hey, I'm getting invited. Like, this is great, you know? And it was a brand new community of friends to get to know. And, you know, and so I'd say that every day.
Andy Bacon, for sure.
Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah. So I'd say that each of us have a role to, we have power to wrap our arms. I keep physically wrapping my arm out, wrap your arms around other people, but then also to be open, to be invited into something that, I think we all have to be reminded that not everyone has everything figured out. So like, you know, you see a group of people and we think, oh, maybe there's not space for me. Like I just feel like in the world, there's always space for everyone. Like, you know, I always like to think of women, you know, often we're standing in a circle, like at a party or wherever, and like to always make space that you're aware of how you open your body language to make space for someone. So when someone walks in the room, that you address them, you welcome them into a circle. Like we all want that. Like I want that every time I walk in the room. So I'm going to make sure that I give it to others as well.
Hmm. What a gift.
Oh, I don't know.
I love that you're not only just saying that, you model that with your life and you're teaching other people to do that. So we're in January, right? Mm-hmm. And we talked last week on the podcast about resolutions and getting really to the heart of those resolutions. What do you continue to see as a desire that women have as they seek to be intentional with their lives by setting goals and New Year's resolutions?
I so interesting this time of year. Intentions and resolutions are a tricky bunch.
Yes, they are.
You know, I think that we're surrounded in our society by, it's January 1, like you got to change your life, fix everything. And I love January 1st. I am like at our home, like for all of our kids and my husband, we have the sheets on the wall and we did a session with like what eats everybody's goals for the year. Like that is my jam. I love like that stuff. It's fun. I'm not sure if my kids totally love it, but anyway, so we do a lot of that. And I think it's wonderful. I think it's a chance to reflect on all that went well in the previous year. I think it's a wonderful chance to look forward to what's ahead. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tricky spot though, when we start to set intentions and resolutions and figure out like, what is the magic behind it? Like, what is the reasoning behind it? So, you know, everyone talks about different diets, you know, and like all of a sudden everyone's talking about the keto diet. I'm like, I didn't think I wanted to go on a diet, but I don't know, everyone else is doing it. Like all of a sudden, like, you know, the shiny object. Right. And so it's interesting, like what is really in our hearts that we really want to make happen for ourselves. And so, you know, I think we all have a desire to live into this, our best lives. And, you know, we want to make our lives the best it can be. We're only on this planet for so long. We want to create a wonderful place for ourselves, for our family, our friends. So we have these intentions to do that. But I think it's interesting to step back and make sure that the intentions are ours and not because someone else told us that they were, this is how our life was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. That, you know, maybe this isn't the year of the weight loss or the, you know, I love Marie Kondo's stuff with the spark joy and everything. All of this is all good things. I'm just curious, how do we encourage each other to really, I'm getting a little off topic.
You're good.
A little bit like to really lean in and think about what really lights us up. What if, you know, if we thought about like, okay, if I did these three intentions, let's say these are my three intentions to really lean into for the year. And maybe the number's 1 or 7. Some people can manage huge intentional setting, whatever that number is. But what am I going to look like at the end of the year? Like, what's my life going to be at the end of the year if all of those come true? Is that where I want my life to be? What am I willing to give up to make those intentions happen? And what am I willing to do to make those, you know, to make real change in our life takes a lot of effort. And it's scary. Like, oh my gosh, like, what if that happens? And then what? Like, are my friends going to like me if I have this brand new life? Or you know, is it really going to meet this, you know, hole in my heart that I have? Like, I think there's, to change anything is really scary. It's easier to stay put. Even if we say we want something different, it's easier to stay put and say, oh, I'm totally going to do that. I really want to do this. But like, are you really willing to do the work? And I guess to me, it's like to really lean into your heart. Like, what do you really want? What really lights you up? To like reflect on your childhood, your teenage years, like think about different experiences that like totally fulfilled everything. Like those are, you know, just moments or days or whatever, however long that experience lasted. What did you do to make that happen? How can you get back to that spot? And you know, maybe it's a more of a business idea now, but it's the same premise. Like, what are those things that you can carry forward? What discipline did you have? Or what community did you have around you to make that happen?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I love the idea of asking, if you look back in a year, what do you want to see happen, or what do you want to see your life look like? And I also think the question that really stood out to me that you said is, what are you going to have to say no to or sacrifice in order to make that happen? And I think, isn't it so true that anything that we want to see happen in our lives with our dreams and our goals and resolutions is going to require some sort of sacrifice and some sort of, if I say yes to this, I have to say no to something else.
And you might disappoint someone in that process. You know, you're starting an early morning workout routine. Well, guess what? I can't stay up late now. So that, you know, that relationships can change and like all it's interesting to just navigate and then to know like, like it's okay to make change and it's okay. I think also some of us set intentions and resolutions and then maybe we realize a few weeks in, that's not, well, maybe it just wasn't the right intention. You didn't fail. You tried something. Go you. Like, oh my gosh.
Go you.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite stories is my younger son. One day, my husband and I both were dreamers and like, oh, we could do this. Like, you know, just different ideas. And like, hey, we'll like bring up all these random ideas to our kids. And frankly, what my son said is true, but it hurt. It was interesting. Anyway, so what he says one day in the car, I bring up an idea and I said, yeah, I'm not sure it's going to happen. He goes, well, you and Dad, you get a bunch of no's. And I'm like, what? Like when I first heard no, I was like, no, like I'm a yes person. No, you know? And I realized, oh, he's totally hit exactly what I want for all of us. Like getting lots of no's is awesome. It means you've stretched. It means you've tried. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And you can call it a failure or a no or whatever. I'd say, go you. Like you put yourself out there. Like I, at the end of my life, I want to know that I've tried and like it, I don't need to have a success column or a failure column, but like I tried with all my heart. I gave everything that I had as my gifts. And I was there, I was present, and I would invite everyone, like, what is your intention? Like, to what do you want your life to stand for? Mm-hmm. And it will change, certainly. And that's okay. And that's okay too. Like, just
go because, you.
Yes, I just like, yeah. I think a lot of my friends, I'm like, you should do this, you should do this. Because I just see there's such magic in each of us. And I think we all need cheerleaders. Like, I want to be cheerleaded. I want to cheerlead others. Like, mm-hmm. I just, we need a lot of go yous in life. Mm-hmm. And then when people like have like a, you know, so-called failure or a no, it's like, celebrate that too. Like, it's okay. So like when an intention or resolution, maybe you just chose the wrong one, or maybe it was the right one at that moment, but like to be okay with it. And we don't have to wait till January 1st or whatever the magic date is. Like, look, you know, February 18th seems like a great day. Start again. And like, there's no time, like right at this moment. Like I remember my husband would always say, like, isn't it funny that people like are like aware that they want to start something new on January 1st? Like, well, if they knew it on December 15th, go ahead and start December 15th. Like today is your day. Like, go ahead and get started if you really want it.
Yeah. Today is your day.
Yeah. But
so let me ask you this. So people who thought this January 1st, that was their day, and now we're a few weeks in and they set goals and resolutions and they're feeling like they're failing at those. What do you see? What's the hard message for them in the sense that what do you see as a pattern that maybe we as women find ourselves in where we want to see something happen in our lives and it keeps not happening and it is attainable, it is reachable, but we keep getting in the way of it? Like, what are the patterns that you see?
It's so interesting when you said we keep getting in the way of it. It's totally true. We're getting
in the way. Well, I get in the way of myself. Yeah. That's I know.
Me too. It's like, oh, come on. Well, I hopefully this answers your question. I think there's a few things that when we're setting up our intentions or our resolutions, that like one to really identify, like, is this really mine? Is this really what lights me up? And if I'm able to really fully realize this, like, oh yeah, that's going to feel really awesome. I can see this being a great part of my life. Awesome. Great. You've identified that part. Okay. So now what are your tools for success? Like, I think there's some pretty important tools. Like, one, do you have like a community around you? Like, to me, I need accountability in my life. Like, I want to know that there's someone ready to run with me in the morning, and I don't want to disappoint them, and I don't want to miss out on conversation. Like, having that sort of accountability, I think, is really powerful, and it also gives you opportunities to, you know, really deepen friendships when you're in something together, right? Mm-hmm. So, to me, like, when I have intentions, I really want community around me. That's important. I think it's important to all of us, but it might look a little different. And two, do we have all the tools you need for success? Like, are you set up? Is it a reasonable resolution? So maybe those resolutions you set up in early January aren't the right ones. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But maybe reset it right today and say, like, what is it that I really want to do? To, you know, if I really want to have more space for my family, if I really want to, whatever the thing is, what are you willing to do to make that happen? And to me, I'm a gold sticker star chart person, you know. I don't literally have that, but I love that. So for me, like, I like saying, like, to be able to cheerlead myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like I said, everyone needs cheerleaders. Like, well, sometimes that cheerleading needs to come from within, right? So, like, of course we should do it for each other, but we should be applauding ourselves, like, for all of our accomplishments. Because I don't know about you, but like, for me, I can see everything negative about myself. And so it's really, I have to be intentional about, like, oh, good job, Elizabeth. You did that well. Yeah. But I, you know, I try to really like make, you know, really specific plans. I had one of my favorite intentional goals from a few years, well, it's been 5 years now, for my 40th birthday was my friend said, hey, what are you going to do to celebrate your 40th? And I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about it, you know? And then like within, like, it was just a spark later that day. I was like, I'm going to run 40 miles for my birthday.
Oh, and my goodness. Like, that's my worst nightmare. Yes.
Well, you know what? It was, within like 2 seconds of saying it out loud, I was like, oh my gosh, but I think for me, it was one of my favorite times of really, like, it was 6 months to the date. When I use this as like a case study for success, I immediately asked a friend to write up a training plan for me, that I trusted. And he was great. He said, how do you want to feel at the end? you know, and he said, do you want to be smiling? You know, and I said, oh, smiling. I want to be smiling at the end, you know? And I had that goal in my mind. And that was really helpful. Like, how do I want to feel? Not just like I want to cross the finish line.
Yeah, crash over the line.
So that one, I invited someone to help me make the plan. So, because like without a plan, come on, like most of us, we need some regimen, you know, plan. And then secondly, I invited a lot of people into my life to be part of it with me. Like, will you run parts of it with me? Will you train with me? And then my husband set up different people. Like, that was his job, was to manage the miles, like so-and-so meet from 3 to 7 or whatever. And, it was one of my most special days of my entire life. And I crossed that end. And I mean, I was exhausted, of course, but the biggest smile, because every part of my life came together. Like, physical adventure is really like awesome for me. It's a lot of endorphins. It's good for my brain, bigger than that, really mentally healthy, or, you know, it helps my mental health. But to have friends along with something, and then to watch them run longer than they ever had run. So like, people were doing like half marathon distances that they never had. And
it was, so you were activating others and inviting them to something bigger.
I don't know about that, but it was feeding my soul. So it's like, what do we do for others that also takes care of us? It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, to have it a win-win. Like, so anyway, I love having a plan, and I don't do that for every area of my life. Like, but I wish I could, or I'm catching myself though. Like, if I wish I could, I should.
So tell me about that goal. So that was something you decided you wanted to experience when you turned 40, and you set up a plan. What did that require of you as far as saying no to other things or the sacrifice?
Lots of sacrifice. Yeah. Something like that required, I was, you know, training every day essentially for 6 months, and it kept me very focused and disciplined. I couldn't miss runs. That wasn't going to be in the, you know, unless I was sick, there was no missing anything, because I had such a clear vision, and no one else had told me you should do this. If someone else had said you should, I would have said no. Yeah, right. But isn't it beautiful when a dream is something that we come up with? We see the vision, we want it so much, and then we find all the tools to make it happen. Like, you know, a dream without a plan is just a dream. And so like, how, and a plan without the dream is kind of boring, right? So like, when you get those two together, it's so beautiful. And like,
I stop you right there to say something? Because that, what you just said, a dream without a plan, or a plan without a dream. Okay, those are two different ways of living. I feel like you could almost separate us all into one of those camps in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of people, their entire lives can be summed up as they dream and they have no plan. So it's just a dream.
Yes.
And they're waiting for their dreams to come true. Uh-huh. But there hasn't been a plan put in place and an intentionality about how to get there.
Yeah.
But then the other type of person is, they're just living out sort of these plans. Well, I have to pay these bills.
Yes.
I did this. I went to high school. I went to college. I got this job. I, you know, bought the Volvo, have the mortgage.
Yes. Yes.
Like, I have the plan, and there's no time for the dream. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like there's sort of these two camps, and it's actually possible to dream about something, make a plan, and then have your dream become a reality.
So we need planners to connect with dreamers. You know? Come on, let's do that. Yeah, that's true. I never thought about it. It really is. It's probably a pretty clear divide.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's possible to experience both, but you have to have both.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You have to have both.
Mm-hmm. How do we get the planners, and for real, like, how do we get those two groups together? Because that is magic. To get those two skill sets. Because to dream is a beautiful thing. It takes such courage.
Mm-hmm. So it's super funny, because I love that you say we need to have people in our lives. So accountability and cheerleading is super important. I find that to be true too. And I think that requires vulnerability, because you have to ask people, hey, this is a goal of mine, and I actually need you to check in with me and ask me how I'm doing on it. Or, hey, like, I'm wondering if you can take time out of your life to come and run these miles with me for my birthday. That does require sort of this vulnerability of inviting people to take part in your life and to care about it. And I think that's hard for us sometimes as women, you know?
Absolutely.
And then the other thing that you said is having tools in place to be able to accomplish the goals that you've set. And I just have to tell you this super nerdy story about me to make you look awesome and me look not super awesome.
Okay.
So for your 40th birthday, you wanted to run 40 miles. So just recently I joined CrossFit, which is like, I've made fun of CrossFit for years just because it's been fun, because I'm married to a husband who's like obsessed with it. He's been doing it for a long time and he loves it. And so when he first joined, it was like all I ever heard about. So that's why I would like just kind of make fun of him, because it's almost like foreign language, you know? So in the last couple of months, I decided to enter into his world and join CrossFit, because I thought we need to have, you know, something in common outside of kids. And we both are very, you know, intentional and busy and have fulfilled lives with our jobs and ministry and stuff. And so I'm like, I'm going to enter into Rob's CrossFit world, but no plan. Like, I just made the decision, signed up and went. So like, I don't even have, I don't know, my workout clothes might be from like 1999. Like, I'm super uncool.
Did you have like leg warmers? They're back
from the 80s, dude. At least I have like late 90s. But anyways, I roll in, I have super stupid clothes. The coach was like, you know, you might want to consider getting some CrossFit shoes. I'm like, what are CrossFit shoes? But I just realized, so like, we're 2 months down the road, and I just realized that I bet you everyone in that gym describes me as like, you know, the blonde chubby lady with the kid headband, because I literally rolled in and I don't like my bangs when they're sweaty. Yes. I don't like them to be in my face. And so I had no headbands. I didn't go get the tools. I didn't get the shoes, the workout clothes. So I've been rocking one of Bella's. It was a blue headband. I couldn't figure out why my hair, I have this white blonde hair. It was blue for weeks because of this little kid plastic headband that was leaking like some nasty joint, like dye. And so then I moved to like a pink one. So every morning, no matter what I'm wearing, I wear a little kid pink plastic headband across it. And they're like, we're doing handstand pushups today. And I'm like, I won't be doing those.
Because of my hair. My hands.
So I am like taking notes over here. Like, yeah, I need to have the tools. If my goal is to do a handstand pushup one day, I need to like get some tools in place.
It isn't. I remember years ago when I first started running outside of summer season, right? So like it was kind of rainy. And I went on a run with a friend and I had these pants on that were kind of loose and this cotton hoodie. Anyway, then it started to rain. I was like, this is the most miserable experience ever. Like, everything about it seemed awful. And I was like, okay, note to self. Like, literally, sometimes physical objects can help make an experience a lot more enjoyable, whether it's a headband or whatever. Like, but like, what is it that you would need? Like, some people say like they love a new pair of shoes to start a workout routine, or like whatever it is, like a new notebook to start the planning. But I do think, there are tools that can make life a lot easier.
Well, set yourself up for success, right? Like another super practical thing is like, if you want to write, like I talk to a lot of people and they want to write or they want to speak. And it's like, well, what are you doing to engage your schedule and make space for that? And I think there's literally practical tools like put it in your calendar every Wednesday from 10 to 11 a.m. I'm going to write or whatever.
Yeah, and guard it like an appointment with a physician. You know, this is an appointment with yourself. There's no one more important than to be with than to take that time and stay committed to it. But I think as women, so often we let other people's priorities just onto ours and change ours. And it's like, oh, well, the kids need me or work needs me or whatever it is. And it's like, it is okay to have boundaries and to like, you know, like just like that appointment with yourself to do the writing. Keep that time to yourself. Everyone's going to be just fine without you for that hour. The world will move on. It's okay. And it's okay to like just have a chapter in your life that is more, I don't know. Always, I think there's time for you to be you.
So what are some of your tools and tricks that you can share to help women who are listening stay committed to their intentions and goals? Like, do you have some other ones that you can think of that has helped you that might help them?
I think having physical reminders in your space, you know, like people sometimes will have a word of the year and they'll put that up in their home. Having a list of your, like, what you're wanting your life to be focused on, whether it's goals or intentions or just some themes. And then sometimes I've done these like questions where you say, like, you come up with these questions of what's important to you. And then every time you're faced with a decision that is going to take a chunk of time, does it pass this test? Not does your friend want you to do it? Not does the PTA need your time? But like, does this meet everything you need in your life? And if it doesn't, to say no. So like, I think just having some physical reminders of what is important to you, and then having some tools to keep to keep reinforcing it. And it's okay to stay focused on what's important to you. You can help out with all those things at another time. Right now, if you're needing to zoom in on it, like to build habits, I think is really at the beginning of any habit, it takes a lot more discipline, right? After a while, this will become second nature and you can go and give back that time. But I think, you know, having that physical reminders, having some questions in place that is this really something that meets my needs? And then I just keep coming back to the accountability and the community. Mm-hmm. If you have people in your life that care about you and that you know, that you're in relationship with, back and forth, like make sure that you're staying up on what you want in your life and feel like having that friendship develop and those vulnerable friendships like you were talking about earlier, it's going to take a lot of vulnerability to say like, hey, bud, this is something I really want to make happen. And if you see me doing something that's out of step with this, would you let me know? I have a friend that says, anytime before you commit to any more volunteering commitments, will you screen it with me? And I tell you, every time I haven't, I'll come back to her. I'm like, you let me do this. She goes, you never asked me. You didn't screen it. And so having people in your life that like, if you say something's really important, maybe they can be your voice when you're a little bit distracted. You know, there's a lot of shiny objects in the world to get distracted by. And I think we need sometimes just other people to remind us what our plan is and what our vision is for our life.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I have a friend who manages all my speaking bookings.
Oh.
And part of that is because she is close enough to me that she can ask me, you know, is this something you really should be doing? Is this make sense for you to leave your family for another weekend? Where, how much have you been gone? Like, she has that place in my life to be able to ask me those questions so I can schedule best, right? So I can give the people I'm going and speaking to my best when I go every time, and I can give my family my best. So it's good to have those people in our lives.
It's got to be tricky though for you because you're like, okay, I have the opportunity to go influence hundreds or thousands of people and I'm going to have to say no because my people that are closest to me need me too. Like that must be an interesting, because of course that is pretty exciting and wonderful and powerful to know like all these people could be influenced for you, but like it's amazing to have a friend that can help you make sure you stay focused.
Well, I think you're like me where you have all of these dreams, all these visions of things you want to accomplish. You know, what we were talking earlier, we have one life. And I think there's so much I want to do with my life and I want to make a mark and I want to impact people. And so I'm very much like, let's do this. And I remember meeting with a mentor who I really look up to who led a nonprofit in town. And I met with her for coffee and I was telling her all my dreams and just feeling really held back by being able to accomplish them because I don't have enough time in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, with all my other roles and responsibilities. And she looked at me and she said, Willow, you can have all those things that you want and dream, but you can't have them all at the same time. And it kind of made me realize like we're in seasons of life as women, right? And so everyone, even who's listening right now, some of them are in seasons of, you know, they're in college or they're post-college young professional or they're single wanting to be married or they're engaged or they're married or they're having a miscarriage or they're raising preschoolers or they're empty nesters. I mean, it just runs the gamut of the seasons of life. And I think sometimes we think, oh, it all has to happen like now or in the next 6 months or the next couple of years. And it's like, I have my whole life. I mean, we don't know what we have, but in some sense, things will change for me in a couple of years when I'm an empty nester, right? And I picture myself to be driving around crying every night at 4 p.m. when it's carpool time and my kids are gone. But I'm going to have so much more time to accomplish these things than I feel like I can't accomplish now. And so it was a really good word from a mentor about dreams and all the things that we could say yes to, but also I'm in a season where my most important yes is to my family, you know?
I think it's interesting that you share that because to be like intentional about like to own that, right? And to say like, I'm thinking specifically of kids, like those years when your kids are in like second grade and like, I mean, it's just like, you're all in, like, you know? And like to be okay to say, I know that this is my intention right now is to focus on the kids. Like, and to give ourselves grace, like there is going to be time ahead and it'll be just fine. And maybe just in our day to day, like I love telling myself, like, I am going to be 100% the, like, I get to choose one day over Christmas break that I do nothing but watch TV or whatever, like be really intentional about it. So it's not like we have to have regrets about how we spent that day or that chapter of our life, but like know that that season of life was to be this, you know, mm-hmm. and not to be everything, like, mm-hmm. cause it will just be a failure if we try to do everything at once. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even if.
Yeah. And I think, and we can get off on a bunny trail about this, but I think at the same time, for me personally in this season, I'm called to love and minister and be here for my family, my kids. My kids are also super busy. And so I've allowed their season of life to sort of invite me into this season that I'm in ministry, and really have tapped into that. And I do a ton of work for Collide and leaning into that, but that doesn't mean I'm neglecting my kids. It actually means I'm inviting my two kids into God's work through Collide, and they get to see that God can use a woman, mm-hmm. that God can use a woman to impact the world, and that it requires sacrifice and it requires hard work. So it doesn't mean mm-hmm. that sometimes they don't see me working or see me gone or see me have to say yes to something else and not always be right by their side, mm-hmm. because they're being invited into something in mm-hmm. that too.
They're learning so much from you. Oh.
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying, like, as a mom, it doesn't mean that we have to be with them every
yes,
second. We
agree.
Can invite them into, here's what a life of service looks like.
Yes.
Here's what a life of following your dreams looks like. Here's what a life of living out your intentions looks mm-hmm. like. And it doesn't always look like, I'm just waiting for you mm-hmm. in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, I remember my first summer where I told Clyde stuff. I stay home in the summers with my kids, and so I plan to do that like I did every summer. And the kids have gotten older now, where I had the loneliest summer of my life 2 years ago mm. because every day they're like, can I go hang out with Johnny? Can I go hang out with Susie? And I'm like, I guess I'll just sit around and wait to drive you somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
That's
and I
so
realized
true.
Like, wait a second, there's things I dream to do. Mm-hmm. It's okay for me to go do mm-hmm. those. And I get to show them something in that too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this weird thing mm-hmm. as a woman, right?
And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I try to be, I keep using this word intentional, but it is one of my favorites. I try to be super intentional with my children, telling them like, hey, tonight or like today, like I have this really important meeting and I'm kind of anxious about it or whatever. And then that night to share with them how I handle that anxiety, how, mm-hmm. or my excitement or whatever the word is, like, and then how it came out. And sometimes when it's wonderful, I'll come home and they'll actually say to me, how did it go? And I'm like, wow, you see me? Wow, this is great. But how beautiful for them to witness us being brave and being courageous. And mm-hmm. and then like that these emotions are safe and okay. And like, yeah, I set a goal and I'm doing this. Watch me. Like mm-hmm. I'm teaching you right now. This is a beautiful way of kids getting to know their parents as humans too. Like, mm-hmm. it's such a gift, I think, for kids to see their parents making good, cool things happen in our world.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm on the same page with you. So I'm going to ask you this. One of Clyde's core values is that we value pushing women towards growth and next steps to go further on one's journey with God. And it's kind of a core value of ours because we put on these conferences, right? Like where there's hundreds and hundreds of women, and what we don't want them to do is show up and be like, check, that was awesome, see you at the next one. And so we're always inviting them, how can you keep colliding with Jesus? How can you keep allowing him to heal you, change you, transform you, grow you, invite you into the life he's made you to live? And so that's why we've created our counseling program and our mentoring program, why we have classes and all of these things, because we really are trying to push women and invite them into what is next so that you can continue to grow and live the life that God made you to live. And so I guess my question to you is that I often see women really wanting to grow, but not making space and time to be intentional. And I'm wondering why you think we do that and what would help.
I think there's lots of reasons that we don't do things. But you specifically said, why aren't we making space? It's like, are we scared of what we're going to have to lose to make something happen? Are we scared of what's ahead of us if we do allow our hearts to be bigger? Like specifically with Collide, it's like, well, what if I just stay at this level? Like, what if I just go to the Collide events? And I'm just using this as an example, but like, it's beautiful, it's fun, it's meaningful. But like, what if I go to the small group and I find that like there's some stuff in my heart I don't really want to check out. I think I do, but I don't really want to. Like, you know, I think I've gone to like different counseling sessions over the years and I walk out, I'm like, whoa, oh, didn't need to uncover that, but I did need to uncover it. But it's scary and it takes a lot of courage and vulnerability, I think, to change. And as we talked earlier, like sometimes it's tools and sometimes it's finding the right intentions, but sometimes it's like really trusting ourselves that like, it's okay to really move forward with something, even if it's uncomfortable. Like, I think we've gotten, and me included, so this is like all my, from my own perspective, my own filter, is that like being comfortable is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. And getting uncomfortable is really scary for most of us. We don't have to get uncomfortable most of the time, right? And so whether it's physical challenges that make us uncomfortable, like what if I'm the slowest? What if I'm the weakest? Or what if I go to the Collide small group and I realize I know the least amount of the Bible? So I say I want something, but I'm not sure I'm willing to put it all on the line and to be vulnerable. Like, because the reality is, we're unlikely to be like to be all those, all of our fears, you know, most of those fears are not going to come true, but like get over ourselves. And you mentioned earlier in the podcast, like it's ourselves that get in the way of our dreams. Get ourselves out of the way, let our hearts lead, and like get in there and be bold and be brave with yourself to make space in your calendar and like get uncomfortable, like stretch physically and mentally beyond what you think you're capable of doing. And I'm preaching this to myself right now too, because there's things in my life that I'm like, oh, it's a little bit on the my boundaries. Can I reach out and grab it? It's like, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Going back, go you.
Well, I think that's a good word. Like, expect to get uncomfortable if you want to see any sort of growth or change in your life.
Yeah. You think about any new workout routine, right? Like you get, then that should be the same with our mental growth too, but.
Mm-hmm. And emotional growth, yes. And marital growth. That was one of the questions I had for you, is that I see a lot of us setting goals. You know, I'll see a woman set a goal for how she looks in jeans, but then her marriage is falling apart and there's no intentionality around changing that. Or women who set goals for their business, but fail to look at their own emotional neglect. And it's really interesting to me, and I've done it myself a million times over. I mean, what does our culture make most New Year's resolutions have to do with diet and exercise, which is not a bad thing. Those aren't bad goals, it's fascinating to me. Why are we setting goals on sort of these external things and not as much on these internal things or these relational things? Some of the most important areas of our life we're choosing to neglect to then set goals for things that we might not say are the most important areas of our life if we really got down to business on it. Why do you think we do that?
I think it's really hard. I think it's really scary. And let's say we're having a struggle in our relationship with our partner and we say, listen, I really want to lean into this. I really want us to build something more beautiful together. What if they say no? What if they don't care about the relationship? So let's just keep it as it is. You know, like, I just think there's a lot of, it's not easy, but it's easier when we can be in control of something. Let's say like we're on a diet or a fitness plan or whatever. Those are like relatively, like there's a million and one plans for everything. It's relatively, we can control it. But other stuff requires you to put yourself out to be vulnerable. You mentioned like a business owner, but she has emotional, like she needs some more time on self-care, like, and maybe dealing with some, you know, emotional issues. That's going to take a lot of vulnerability. It's a lot easier to work on a spreadsheet than it is to talk about your heart.
So
like, yeah. So a lot of us want to focus on things, me included, that like our stuff that isn't, like we say we're vulnerable, but are we really like sharing our true heart? Like our, like, you know, that level, like you say you're vulnerable, you share this level, but then the really deep stuff that feels a little dark and like, what if someone doesn't like me after this? What if I reveal who I am? So I guess to me, I think it's a fear. It's like, we say we want these things, but it is going to take more work than signing up for a gym class.
Right. I remember having a conversation with a woman where it was around kind of New Year's resolutions and goals. And she at first had told me that she thought she had a drinking problem and that she needed to deal with her drinking problem. And she'd come to a Clyde and she wrote me this huge letter afterwards and basically said that she's realized that she was drinking to numb the pain because she has so much bitterness and built up resentment towards her husband. And really, like, the area in her life that needs work isn't drinking. Drinking is a side effect and a symptom of this relational work that needs to happen. And I think you're absolutely right. And it's so true that I can kind of control if my goals have to do with just me, like exercise and eating or whatever, I can kind of control and gauge those. But if someone's goal is to make peace with someone they don't have peace with, that brings a lot more anxiety because the variables could, you know, the story could go a million different ways, and having to reach out to someone who, you know, you don't have peace with is a lot harder than saying, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I think a lot of us are like, well, forget it. I'll sign up for the gym a million times over. Like, we'll worry about that relationship later. I don't know. I think it's a matter of just, like trusting ourselves and our hearts that we'll be okay, even if it's uncomfortable.
Why do you think women give up on their dreams and settle for what is?
I think there's so many reasons. I think there's, first of all, each of us are born with a unique gift. I firmly believe that each of us are born with something that's special and unique, and that no one is like born with anything more special than the person next to them. It's just a question of figuring out what it is. And then to trust that it's okay to really live into it. And it takes a lot of courage and boldness for us to believe in it. Like, is this really a gift? Like, do I have something special to contribute to the world? Like, I think we give up on it because we're like, I don't know, like, well, someone else can do it. Like, maybe I don't have this special, unique talent I would just say to everyone, like, there is this, like, I like to think of the universe or our world or whatever as like a big puzzle, and you're part of the puzzle. We're waiting for you to fully realize that, like, the world will be incomplete without your gift in it. Like, but we don't believe that we have something special. I think we say we have intentions and stuff, but it's like, well, it's easier to stay status quo, to live safe. Like, it is going to take you to be brave and bold to live into your best life, whatever. And that looks so different for each of us, but it takes a lot of bravery and courage and asking people to be part of it with you.
So your best advice to women who are listening, who have dreams to use their life for amazing things, what's your best advice for them when they feel like where they're at right now, they're not realizing those dreams?
I think once they figure out what the dream is, like, so I think that's an important first step, is to really identify what your dream is and not what your mom told you it was, not what your best friend, not what you think you saw in a movie and that seemed interesting. Like, I'll totally like, oh, that seems fun, you know, but like really fine tuning into that, right? And then I would say, invite people. Like, I physically can see a woman with her arms wrapped around two of her dearest people, whether it's a spouse or their child or a best friend or a mentor, but like asking, like, be with me on this journey, invite other people into your journey. You have everything you need inside you to make it happen, but you have to trust yourself. We all have to trust our hearts and our brains that, like, we've been given everything. Mm-hmm. Our experiences are with us, our stories, our hearts, everything. Mm-hmm. But we've got to just trust it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love that, be with me. You know, I think God is with us, but He also puts people alongside of us.
Yeah.
And
He's in each of us. Like,
yeah. And to invite other people, like, I have dreams and I need you to be with me to fulfill those dreams.
And guess what? When you do that, you're saying to them, I'm going to be with you on your dream too. And I'm going to be a strong friend for you. Like, if when you are vulnerable and you ask other people to be part of your life, you're saying, like, and I'll be part of yours. Mm-hmm. I will be, do whatever I can to support you on your journey. And like, what a gift to inspire others. They see you being vulnerable and brave. They also then have the ticket to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Such a gift.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to close with this. I so often kind of, when I see scripture, I find this deep sense that God has given us life for a purpose. And my hope for women is that they would find their purpose and tap into God, you know, God's given potential. Like you say, every woman has a gift. I believe that to be true too, if not many gifts. And they have a life waiting to be lived. And I run into so many women who desire this, but feel so far from it being their reality. So as we come to a close, I'm just wondering, what's your advice for them?
My advice to them, I think, is to, like, right now, right at this moment, to take a minute, or take a few minutes perhaps, and give yourself some space. And if you're not driving, take out a notepad and start writing down some of those dreams. Start writing down things that you think are your gifts. Start writing down moments that you have felt fully alive and fully like you knew that you were being everything you were meant to be on this planet. Write down all those things. Just let your brain just kind of like, nothing's wrong, right? Just write it all out. Just like sit with that for a little bit. There's something magical about all those things you shared. And if it doesn't flow through you today, that's okay. Maybe it's going to come to you tomorrow. But like, trust that everything you need to make those things happen is in you. Like, really think about like that puzzle. I keep imagining this puzzle, that puzzle, and your gift is people are waiting in our community, in our world, for your gift. And we need you. Everyone needs you, your friends, your family. And like that gift is, it could be exactly what ignites someone else to do something too. So like, this is something you're doing for yourself, for your world. And I hope you can trust in your heart and your gifts.
Elizabeth, thank you for hanging out with me.
This was really fun. I'm so excited. I just want to keep talking about it, though.
Well, you can come back. Yes. It'll be fun. It's funny because I'm interviewing you, Elizabeth, and you have a necklace on it. I noticed it says shine.
Yes.
And you do shine. Oh, and I've seen you shine in our local schools. I've seen you shine in our neighborhoods, our community, with mutual friends in this world in huge ways. And it's a privilege to watch and to experience, and it's inspiring, and I love what you do.
Thank you
for sharing today and shining into the women listening today.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
It's been my absolute honor.
Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us today. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide and on Facebook as Collide. And you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find out about events and resources and all of that jazz. And we're so glad that you joined us today, and we'll catch you next week.